Good morning, my friends. To commemorate the independence of this country, this morning we will celebrate the Holy Eucharist using worship as they would have in 1776. And now at the opening of the service, the priest would have stood at the north end of the altar, facing south, in order to prove that we were not papists, for the Roman Catholics always faced east when they began their service. We begin the liturgy of the word in your bulletin. Let us kneel and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods but me.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shew mercy unto thousands in them that love me, and keep my commandments.
Lord,
thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all that thou hast to do, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, thy cattle and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and resteth on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these on our hearts.
O Lord, we beseech thee mercifully to hear us, and grant that we, to whom thou hast given an hearty desire to pray, may by thy mighty aid be defended and comforted in all dangers and adversities, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The epistle is written in the 7th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 15th verse. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here endeth the lesson.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 16th verse. Jesus said, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He hath a devil.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of her children." At that time Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Let us together say the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. There is an old folk tale about a very wise king. This king was getting on in years, and his one final wish was that he could impart upon his son inner peace. For the king believed that if his son possessed inner peace, that he would himself become a great ruler. But the young prince did not think that inner peace was as important as cunning, prowess, strength, might. So his father, the king, decided to demonstrate his wisdom to his son. He called together his senior advisors and explained to them that he wanted to have a painting exhibition, a contest. "Let all the artists in my kingdom know," the king said, "that I challenge them to depict peace in the form of a painting. Let all the paintings come from north, south, east, and west. We will hang them all in the exhibit hall here in the castle, and I myself will judge which one among them can truly depict inner peace. And to that artist I will give a great reward from my treasury. So the senior advisors went out and announced this painting exhibition all over the land. Paintings began pouring in from all corners of the kingdom. Beautiful scenes of calm ocean waters, elegant sunsets, birds gliding across the sky, idyllic, perfect, tranquil paintings came pouring in to the castle. Then one day, a strange painting arrived. The senior advisors didn't like it at all. They thought that the artist must be crazy. The painting depicted a wild storm, dark and huge. A storm that took place on an ocean. There was very little light in the painting at all, and in the center was a small island made of nothing but jagged rock. "Put this painting in the back corner," said one of the senior advisors. "It's terrible. The only reason we don't throw it away is that the king instructed us to hang every single painting, no matter what we thought of its merit." The day came for the exhibition, and the king, followed by his son, the prince, began to walk around the exhibit hall, carefully observing every single work of art. But as the king moved through the hall, he seemed to get more and more morose. "Well, what's wrong?" his senior advisor said. "Aren't these paintings incredible? How could you even decide which one best depicts inner peace?" But the king said, "I find every one of them to be lacking something." Finally, he came upon the dark and strange painting that was in the corner of the exhibit hall. "Why is this painting shoved back in the corner?" he asked. "Well, we didn't think it was worth your attention," his advisors said. "Every painting is worth my attention," explained the king. He walked up very close to the dark and chaotic piece of art, and he stood there analyzing it for a full minute. At the end of the minute, the king said, "This is the one." His advisor said, we don't understand. How could this depict inner peace?" The king said, "You haven't looked closely enough. Come closer with me." He took his senior advisors and the prince, and they crowded around this dark painting and stared at it. And sure enough, in the very center of the painting, there was something that they had never noticed before. There was a nest perched on one of those jagged rocks, and in the nest was a mother bird. And with all of her attention, and with all of her focus, She was looking at the one chick that was there in the nest with her, and she was loving that little baby bird. "Let me explain to you," said the king, "why this painting is the best one of all. Peace is not some idyllic place that you can find outside of yourself, as is depicted in these scenes of calm waters and beautiful sunsets. No, peace can only be achieved when you yourself, in your heart of hearts, are able to focus on that which matters most in life, that with undivided attention, you focus on that which is important, despite all the chaos that may be going on around you. Peace is when you are able, in your heart of hearts, to focus on what is most important in life, despite all the chaos that may reign around you. In 1776, there were 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Do you know what happened to them? When they put their signatures on that paper, they risked their very lives. 5 of them were captured, tortured, and killed by the British. 12 of them had their homes completely demolished and their families murdered. 9 of them died from wounds during the Revolutionary War. 2 of them lost sons who died in the Revolutionary War. Another 2 of them had their sons captured and never found out whether their offspring survived. 1 of them had to flee and live in the forest while his wife died of influenza. Those men who signed the Declaration of Independence were living in a time of complete and utter chaos, in which storms and war swirled all around them. And yet, in the moment that they put pen to paper, they were able to focus with undivided attention upon an idea, an inspiration that I believe came only from God. This idea that human beings are created equal in the sight of God, and that we have a right to govern ourselves. Despite all that was happening around them, they were able to focus on the one thing that was most important in their time. Now, in the gospel for today, Jesus says to you and to me, "Come to me. Come to me, all of you who suffer, all of you whose lives are crazy, who are in travail and heavy laden," he says. "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my cause upon yourself, and you will find peace." What a strange thing for Jesus to have said. If you look at Jesus' life on earth, it was anything but peaceful. For the 3 years that he walked this earth that we have recorded in the Gospels, he was plagued with people. Everyone wanted to be with him, wanted a piece of him. They would not leave him alone. They wanted him to heal them, to teach them, to take care of them. He could not find one moment alone, except if he woke up in the dark wee hours of the morning and snuck away to some place to pray by himself. He was hounded, harassed, and eventually murdered. His life was not idyllic in any way, and yet he possessed inner peace. Not because of anything that was going on around him, but because Jesus was focused solely and utterly on the will of God. My friends, we live in a crazy time. The wars that we fight now are different from the wars back then, but they're equally devastating and they span the globe. This country is divided and enslaved by fear. We are so politically divided that we can hardly speak to one another. And my greatest hope lies in the fact that you and I can still find peace in the midst of all this craziness by focusing on what God would have us do with our lives. What is your purpose in life? Whatever that is, if you focus on that with your full attention, despite all the chaos around you, you will find this peace that passes understanding, the peace that the disciples were willing to die for, that Christ himself gave his life for. On September 19th, 1796, there was a small article which was published in the American Daily Advertiser, which was the local paper in Philadelphia. In this article, George Washington wrote to the people of the United States. And in this short letter, George Washington explained that despite all their hopes and dreams for him and their desire for him to stay president of the United States, that he was going to resign at the end of his second term and move back to Mount Vernon. George Washington stood at 6'4". He was regal and imposing. He was a war hero, and he made everyone feel safe. Everyone felt that if he could stay as president, that the country would survive, that they would make it. But in the core of who he was, George Washington knew that he served something higher than his own ambition. And he knew that democracy would never survive if the president kept in office beyond two terms. And so he voluntarily stepped down while people were begging him to stay. We live in crazy times, my friends, crazy times. But the question that we all must ask ourselves is, what is God calling me to do with my life? And whatever that may be, to birth that kingdom into this world, to focus solely on serving Christ while the chaos reigns around us. And in that way, we too can find the peace that passes all understanding. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting, we have a newcomer card in your pew that you can fill out. Or if you raise your hand, our ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so we can find you. We won't make you give a speech. But put your hand up if you're new or visiting, and we'll bring you a gift. Welcome, welcome. Keep your hands up high so they can find you. We're so glad you're here with us today. What fun it is to worship in this way. Isn't it interesting? I find it fascinating. Our new curate, Carl Saxon, has been a great asset to us. Not only has he helped me research this stuff, but he happens to find up on the second floor of the cathedral a real 1662 prayer book, which we're using today. And I heard this morning from one of our older parishioners that in the Great Fire of 1901, before we were even a cathedral, the rector at the time ran into the building during the fire to retrieve this very book. So here it is with us today. Thank you, Carl, for all your help. Last Sunday was Social Media Sunday. Talk about jumping into the future. It was a great hit. All over the country, Episcopalians were on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and for a couple of hours, we were the number one hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Episcopal. So good job, everybody. Keep using social media to tell people about the cathedral, but remember the 11th commandment, thou shalt shut off thy cell phone when thy worship. But after worship, turn it back on and tell your friends about us, okay? Perfect. On Sunday, July 20th, our choir will be about to leave to sing at Canterbury Cathedral and Westminster Abbey. Yay! In order to celebrate their departure and in the spirit of Anglican music, we're going to have a special hymn sing Sunday that day. So I hope you'll join us on July 20th. Vacation Bible School starts next Sunday, July 13th through Thursday the 17th, and it's for children from pre-K through 6th grade. Any child, they don't have to go to the cathedral. More details are in your bulletin, and registration forms are available at the back of the sanctuary. Also, we have a wonderful new thing happening this morning. Clara White Mission, which employs people who have been homeless or incarcerated, teaches them to garden and to become chefs and waiters. Clara White is selling organic vegetables from their garden. So I know all of you are going to go to Walmart or Winn-Dixie to buy your vegetables. Go and buy them from Clara White because they're giving people jobs and it's also very healthy. It looked like he had already sold so many before the service that he may run out, which is a great problem. But as you go into Tolliver Hall, you'll see the vegetable stand right there, run by a man who is now employed. And last but not least, we have something else to celebrate today. Is Doris Hambrecht here? Can you stand, please? Doris is celebrating her 90th birthday. And we have cake after the service. And now, if you would follow with me this beautiful offertory sentence, which they would have used in 1776. He that soweth little shall reap little, and he that soweth plenteously shall reap plenteously. Let every man do according as he is disposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church militant here in earth.
Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that they all that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also so to direct and dispose the hearts of all Christian rulers, and especially the rulers and governors of these states, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other pastors, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.